morning. My name is Margaret Elements. I'm the Committee Secretary to the Portfolio Committee on Water and Sanitation. In the absence of the chairperson, we've submitted an apology, Ms. Lulu Johnson. She's attending the Gender and Sustainable Development Conference in East London on behalf of the committee. So in the absence of the chairperson, we need to elect an acting chairperson in terms of the law of the Rural National Assembly. Can I call for nomination? Kulankulu? Ms. Kaula? Okay, Ms. Kaula. Ms. Maluleki, do you accept the nomination? Okay. Are there any other nominations? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Kaula. You're the acting chairperson for the committee for today.
Thank you, members, for giving me this opportunity to share the meeting for today. We are having some apologies as it has stated that the chairperson is attending the conference in East London. We hope the apologies are accepted. We have another apology for Mr. Dawson, who is going to leave us if we at around 12:15. If you are not finished, you will leave us to another meeting. We are also having the apology for the Deputy Minister, who is also attending the Gender, Water and Development Conference in East London. And we are also having the apology for Mr. Honorable Gallo and Honorable Bojan. And also, because we were inviting also the Department of Mineral Resources and Environment, they are also apologized that they won't be part of our meeting, but they will liaise with the department on issues that related to their portfolio committees or departments. I hope all the apologies are accepted. If we're having our agenda members, today we have a briefing by the Department of Water and Sanitation on the report on acid mine drainage and interventions. And the second one is a briefing by the Chamber of Mines in respect of acid mine drainage. Those are the two departments who are going to present for us. We know that we call this meeting after we have received the previous report from the committee, previous committee on the issues of mine damage and interventions. So we want to get the progress of the department on addressing the issues and challenges that are facing our communities in terms of acid mine drainage. Without waste of time, members, we'll go straight to the presentations and request members to be specific on the issues of the program of today. If we have other constituency issues that are not related to today's meeting, please let's hold them and maybe request for the next meeting to address our issues. Or we will just address them after we have finish our program of today. Before, because we are not all, we have our new DG, which is our first meeting is here. We would like to start by introducing ourselves so that she also be familiar with all of us. Can I start with myself? I'm Johanna Mulemaleke, the acting chair of the committee for today. I'm a member of the African National Congress. I'll go around by first with members and we'll go with the officials after.
I'm Ms. Bilangolo, member of the Portfolio Committee, ANC member. Thank you.
I'm Derek Mungoni, member of the committee.
Thank you very much. Tanya Baker, DAL first member.
Good morning, I'm John Defon, I'm a member of this committee. Although the chairperson requested us not to give our affiliation, it started by ANC, so I'm from the DA.
Thanks, Chair. My name is Thomas Magondo. I'm the member of the Portfolio Committee.
And good morning, Chair. I'm MS Kaula, member of the Portfolio Committee.
I'm Sherry Dahl with the Content Advisor for the Portfolio Committee on Water and Sanitation.
Good morning, members and colleagues. My name is Thomas Mangufala and I'm a committee researcher.
Zoleka.
Morning, members and colleagues. I'm Zoleka Gola from committee session.
Good morning. I'm Marato Mle for communication support for the committee.
Richard Davies, I'm with South African Press Association.
I'm Omshala, I'm from PNG.
I'm Gay Davis from Arabic News.
Chris Fu Young from EMDC and Kaka.
Good morning, Nick Harvey from Sabinet.
Good morning, don't be kind of PA2, does it?
Good morning, members. My name is Yvonne Kwanani from Independent News Plus.
I'm Tessna Mudao from Chamber of Mines.
Nick Tidufi, Chamber of Mines.
I'm the second one from the ministry. I'm Deborah Mukherjee from the Department of Water and Sanitation.
Telemoy from Ministry.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I'm Trevor Bosworth, Department of Water and Sanitation.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. I'm Anil Singh, Department of Water and Sanitation.
Good morning, Honourable Members. I'm Martin Skip from Department of Water and Sanitation.
Good morning, I'm Richard Jomaloto from the Chief's Office.
Good morning, Chair and Members. My name is Margaret Davis from Water and Sanitation.
Thank you. We hope you are all fine. And we welcome you, DG. As you have get our motto last time when we met you, that we have our motto as a portfolio committee, that if you are working, you are walking, you walk fast. And if you run, you run faster. That is our motto. You know, we are having a challenge of water in the whole country. So
So we have to work faster to deal with challenges that we are facing as a country. So I'll go direct to the program, which is the briefing by the Department of Water and Sanitation in terms of the acid mine drainage and interventions. It is a progress. We know that it's not the first time we're dealing with the challenges that we're having. So we want to get the progress on addressing the challenge. Thank you, Dee.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I'm sleep planning at the moment, given the rate of work that is in this department. But I'm sure we will cope. As you say, there is no time for rest, given the crisis that we are facing in certain instances. And one of them, Chair, is the matter at hand, which is the issue of acid mine drainage. To such an extent that the President established an interministerial committee in 2010 to deal with this matter, given the fact that it actually extends across a few departments, not just the Department of Water, although the Department of Water is a lead department on the matter. The interministerial committee, as you know, is co-chaired by the department or the Minister of Mineral Resources, as well as the Department of Water and Sanitation. The issue of acid mine drainage is a legacy issue that emanates or started as far back as 120 years ago, so I'm told, with the advent of mining really on the Witwatersrand. But let me also indicate, Chair, that we now realize that the issue of acid mine drainage is not only located in what is referred to as the Witwatersrand area. There are also now instances of acid mine drainage in other provinces, including Limpopo. But when I allow the technical support to take us through the actual briefing, the details of the extent of acid mine drainage in the or difficulties in the country will be elucidated. Just to indicate that the way I would like to approach the briefing is just by way of my introductory remarks, and then I'm going to hand over to Marius to actually take us through the presentation. And hopefully, well, I know there will be questions, so we'll also take the questions and share with you your indulgence. The Interministerial Committee is supported by a technical task team. That technical task team is chaired by myself, and I convene across the, it mirrors the Interministerial Committee as well by way of departmental representation. I'm assisted amongst others by the Department of Mineral Resources as well as the Department of Environmental Affairs, and given the magnitude of the financial implication, of course, we also have representation from National Treasury there. We started with an intervention that dealt with what we refer to as an emergency intervention. In the Witwatersrand, you have three basins. We have the eastern, the central and the western basins. And the reason why we had to intervene by way of emergency measures was that we also had incidences of decanting, particularly in the western part of Johannesburg. So the emergency measures is to pump out the water so that we reach acceptable levels. In other words, the decanting is stopped, and that we are also able to then utilize the water. We stop short around the issue of desalination. That is the next step. And Marius will indicate that we are now at the point we would like to take it into the next phase of desalination. And we are also looking at the appropriate technology to do that. I must indicate, Jay, that nothing around the issue of dealing with acid mine drainage comes cheap. It's very expensive. And of course, I know there will be questions, so I can preempt a little bit about what it is we are doing to deal with the culprits. There is a policy, an adoption of polluter pay principle, and we are working with the Department of Environment to institute an environmental levy. But again, the presentation will go into much greater detail.
We've not let them off the hook entirely as far as our emergency interventions are concerned, and they have made contributions around the emergency intervention. Our whole cell inadequate, but you have the chamber here, and I'm sure they will also indicate in terms of their further commitment around the matter. So, Chair, with those brief introductory remarks, let me hand over to Marius and ask him to take us through the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Gigi. Honorable members, Madam Chair, Gigi, colleagues, thank you for this for the opportunity to say something more about African drainage, where we come from, and you know what situation is now. I will, in my talk, take you through the background of African drainage, how does it form, and then also talk about a bit about the land in particular, as the Gigi has said, and then also say something about national AMD challenges that we have. Right. I'm not sure that's clear enough, but I'll try to explain. Acid mine drainage forms when you have the ore, that's a coal, gold or coal mining, that's the pyrite, that's part of the ore body, when it gets interference with oxygen and also water. So you need the three elements before you can really form acid mine drainage. It arises during active mining, but it's more prevalent while away mine cease operations and water management interventions are absent. So in other words, if you're dealing with AMD, it's actually something that you're sitting with a legacy, and it means that somebody hasn't done their work in the past. It's characterized by very low pH water, high salinity, in other words, a lot of salt dissolved in the water. It's usually unsuitable for the environment and beneficial use unless suitably treated. So you have to first treat the water before you can use it. And it's also associated with mines by a lot of such as tailings facilities and also waste rock dumps. The chemistry, I don't want to bore you with the chemistry, but I mean, I've already said you need the three elements. You need the pyrite, you need the oxygen, you need the water. So if you can isolate one of the three, and you can manage that, then you don't have acid mine drainage. Next slide is the problem statement. Madam Chair, is just to take you through that. So we can say that it's considered one of the greatest environmental challenges that we have so far, I think, in South Africa. But it's also worldwide a challenge. It's not unique to South Africa. It has an impact on water security. It has negative impact on surface and groundwater, that's rivers, dams, and boreholes, and specifically we have areas where communities make use of the boreholes and impacted by mining activities. Emerging impacts on drinking water, we had instances in Carolina. There's a good example of Melanchthon, which got positive results at the end, where people are treating the water to a level where you can actually use it. Ecological destruction. Flooding of neighboring mines, we're sitting with the challenge now that we have in the far western basin, we have operating mines, where mines are operating, and the mines are now, because of the depletion of the ore bodies, they now stop pumping. And the moment they stop pumping, we have the challenge that the rest of the mining companies must pump all the water, and that's the challenge that we have in the Witwatersrand land as well. So we must be proactive to ensure that we don't have similar situations in the rest of the country where mines are pumping. In terms of mining in sensitive catchments, that's something that we're still negotiating with the Department of Environmental Affairs. This is where you have mining areas and very active mining areas where new people are to come in and mine, and it's very sensitive catchments. I'll elaborate on that specifically in the Upper Vaal. You have that in the Olifant River as well. And this is always the way up between the environment and development. There would always be a good balance between the two. And of course, there is a bit of a fragmented legislation between the different departments, because there are not only Department of Water Affairs, but it's also the Department of Water and Sanitation, but it's also the Department of Mineral Resources and the Department of Environmental Affairs. So that has to be managed as well. Next slide. Madam Chair, Honourable Members, you can take it to the next slide. That's the energy water nexus, and that's just to indicate to you that in South Africa, about 85% of our electricity comes from coal fire. And about 4.5% come from nuclear. And both the activities need water. But also, both of the activities have got a problem with acid mine drainage. And it's just to indicate to you that, I mean, again, this is not unique in South Africa. It's all over the world that you've got this challenge where you can bring in nuclear power, but it's also water demand. And of course, at the end, you have to manage the effluent coming from that. So I can take you to the next slide. Honourable Members, this is where the problem in the Witwatersrand started in 2002. And what you see there is a picture of a shaft where the water started decaying. That's in the Western Basin, as the DC already pointed out. Next slide. This slide indicates the red part of Rand, it's a mint diagram of the red part of Rand. You took a plot on the red part, that's the Western Basin, that's where the water started decaying. In the Central Basin, that's where mining stopped in 2008, and in the Eastern Basin, where mining stopped in 2011. So once you stop mining, of course, then there's no pumping. So since the pumping has stopped in the Central Basin and the Eastern Basin, I've got one, thank you. Then you have an increase in water level. In other words, the water goes up, the water level goes up. What we have is in each level, each basin, we have a so-called environmental critical level. That's the level where you want to protect the environment. You don't want water to go above. In the Western Basin, as we've already pointed out, the water started decaying already there. And I'm just spelling out all the challenges that we have and giving you the worst case scenario, and then I'll come to the solutions and the progress that we've made so far. So the water started decaying there. In the Central Basin, that's where we have to implement solutions. Okay. It's difficult, but I'll try my best. So, just to come again, show the Western Basin, that where the decant had started already in 2002. In the Central Basin, where mining, pumping was stopped in 2008. And then in the Eastern Basin, where mining was stopped in 2011. So since then, the water started rising in the Central Basin, and the water started rising in the Eastern Basin. This is where intervention from political level was started in 2010, and I'll come to that later. In terms of the yield of the different levels, just one back. In terms of the yield of the basin, the Western Basin yield is about 30 megaliters per day, so that's the water that you can get from the underground system. In Central Basin, it's about 40 megaliters per day, 40 plus, it can go up to as high as 80 megaliters, and in the Eastern Basin, it can go up to about 110 megaliters per day. So I will now talk about the impact that this will have on the whole river system. If I could start with the one on the far right, the far left, it's the Western Basin. The water decant, or the water that's decanting there, goes to the Hartbeespoort Dam, so that goes north and it's not going to the Vaal River system on that side. If I look at the Central Basin, that's the Central Basin. Once we start pumping and discharging water, it will go to the barrage. And also in the Eastern Basin, it will go to the barrage as well. So nothing is going to the Vaal Dam. But the challenge that we're sitting with here is that once you release the water, even if it's neutralized, this water still has got a high salinity, as the diesel already pointed out. And because of that, you have to dilute the water downstream. So the downstream users, downstream to the Vaal barrage, with quite commitment to achieve a level of 600 milligrams per liter total dissolved solid. So what I'm saying is that for every drop of water that you discharge into the Vaal barrage, you actually need up to 5 megaliters per day of good quality water to dilute the water to make it acceptable for downstream users. And I mean, that doesn't make sense, and that's why we have to implement the emergency as an intervention in the long term. Now taking to the next slide, which is actually pointing out the worst case scenario. So it is evident that AMD has definitely got a negative impact on the Vaal River system. Unless mitigated, I've already said that it can go up to 11 cubic meters for every cubic meter of bad quality water that you discharge for dilution. In other words, to make it good for downstream users, you need good quality water, and I mean that's 7 to 11 cubic meters of good quality water, which is very expensive, it's unsustainable, and it's water loss from the Vaal River system, and it's got to do with water security. The Vaal River Reconciliation Study predicts that there's a water security risk in the Vaal River system from 2016-17. Remember, I just emphasized that this is worst case scenario, so this is if nothing has been done. And it could be a potential crisis if we don't do that, and if not managed properly. Even when the Lesotho Island Water Project 2, which is planned to be commissioned in 2022, there will still be a deficit in the Vaal River system if you don't manage this properly. Now, Madam Chair, if I can go into the challenge, so we have to ensure water security in the Vaal River system. That's our task, to look after our water sources, and then also promote beneficial use of purified aquifer drainage.
This is also articulated in the National Water Resource strategy. And it enables to propose additional mega transfer augmentation schemes to be deferred. In terms of the cost, the comparison there is that if we go the way we do it now, that with utilization and desalination, it's going to cost us 10 billion rand. If you don't do it, you have to put in a new augmentation scheme, which is going to cost the country 40 billion rand. So it's actually a no-brainer that what he's doing at the moment is actually the only and the best solution to complete what we are supposed to do. So is this an opportunity to occur? Next slide. So I can take you to this slide, and unfortunately it's not that clear. This is the yield, and I'll come to the members on the other side now. This is the yield of the Vaal River system. And once you start discharging the neutralized water in the system, then you're actually decreasing, you're taking away the yield, and then you're sitting with a deficit if you don't do anything. So of course, the moment you start discharging, you need good quality water, so you're taking away water from the system, and that's why you have a deficit. Next slide.
The presentation is made for members. So if you point that side and say this is what they don't do anything, can you just use this data side?
Apology.
Okay.
If I then just take the member or the members to that side, this is the yield of the Vaal River system, that red line there. The moment we start discharging this neutralized AMD, you're taking away some of the good quality water from the Vaal River system and you're dropping this. The red part is the deficit. So it means that you're going to sit with a deficit from 2016-2017. Right? If I then take you to the next slide, this is where we say we have to treat this water to a level where you can use it and don't have to discharge this quality or this water. You can, for beneficial use, and the total yield in the system could go up to as high as 150 megaliters per day. So you can bring that in the system, and then also you don't have to dilute the water from the Vaal River system. That side again, that's the yield. So if you desalinate the water, you don't have to bring in good quality water because this water is beneficial, is fine for use, and it's about 150 megaliters per day that you can put in the system for either direct use, that's for industry or maybe for potable use as well, and then you also don't have to dilute the water because it's good quality. Madam Chair, in terms of the government's solutions to this problem and the actions that we've started with, the DG already mentioned that on the 1st of September 2010, the Interministerial Committee for AMD and Mine Water Management was established, and we gave a presentation to Parliament at the time. The two DGs were then appointed to chair the team of experts, or to appoint a team of experts. The team of experts then produced a mine water management in the water department Goldfields report, dealing with all the AMD reports, and this had certain recommendations that was presented to Cabinet. Cabinet then approved them, and I'll come to that, the detail of that. Cabinet approved them on the 9th of February 2011, and on the 6th of April 2011, the Department of Water Affairs appointed the Transcalis and Sun Authority to implement what we decided. So the recommendation by Cabinet, the first one is to prevent decant by pumping underground mine water. So that's exactly what's happening in the Western Basin as already in the Central Basin. To stop the ingress, or to stop ingress from surface water. In other words, what Cabinet has said, we don't want to pump the bad quality water, rather decrease the water that's flowing into the system, and then you also have air quality water that you pump at a much lower rate. Treatment of acid mine drainage, the first bullet is the neutralization and metal removal, that's for the immediate and the short term, as we already explained. But then finally also, as I've already explained, to remove all the salt from the Vaal River system. So the first part, we make good progress, and the second part will come to that later on. Also to improve the monitoring, because we need to do further research, and then also investigate implementing environmental levy, which is also in the process of doing so. In terms of the progress made so far, next slide. The immediate solution, that's the Western Basin, where Cabinet said this is a disaster, we can't accept this AMD that's being discharged as is, in other words, low pH, high salinity, high metals, into the Tweelo Spray that flows into the Arctic. So we then reached an agreement with Rand Uranium at the time. and we've upgraded their plant, and that plant is currently feeding about 30 megaliters per day. So there's definitely improvement in surface and groundwater quality. We also have good results, but the challenge is, however, we can only feed 30 megaliters per day, and we still have to scale up that plant. Further refurbishment is definitely required at the moment, because when we have high rainfalls, you'll definitely see decanting. In terms of the shorter, number two, we've installed new acid mine drainage pump station. There's a neutralization plant, and this is really a state-of-the-art plant. I'll show you photos of that. The project commenced in January 2013, and it was commissioned in April 2014. And pumping and treating and neutralization and charging is happening there at a rate currently of about 40, at the moment it's 48 megaliters per day, but it can go up to about 80 megaliters per day. In the eastern basin, this is a similar project that we have in the central basin. We're busy developing a pump station at 3 shafts, that's where the old Grootsluit mine was. The project commenced in June 2014, and we hope to commission it by December 2015. Time is of the essence. We are running short in time. We need to comply to the environmental critical level, so that is a challenge, but I'll talk about that later on. The operational target is to pump daily about 84 megaliters on a daily basis. Just focus, you can just quickly go to focus. That's the western basin, that's where the decant used to take place. You can see it's now dry. Second plant, that's the discharge. You can see on the left hand side, that's the AMD. Where it used to run out, untreated AMD, there's nothing come out, and the treated AMD is on the right hand side. You can see that water is of a good quality except for the high salinity. In the central basin, this picture shows you, I think it was about 2 years ago, there was nothing. That is the shaft that was at that stage was just sealed off. That shaft is the back, that shaft is 2.5 kilometers deep, and it was just sealed off. And I'll show you the pump station that has been built in that shaft. Construction. Go on. Just part of the construction. Those two pumps that you see there, they're state of the art pumps. They're pumping at the moment at a depth of about 250 meters. But we want to go down because there's still some more reserves. And Central Rand Gold is one of the mining companies that are interested in mining there. But they will have to pay. Somebody mining critically will have to pay. The incremental cost. Next slide, so that's the treatment plant up and running. Slide. And this is just to indicate, it's one of the reactors, just to indicate to you that really the bad quality of water, that red color that you see there is iron. So once you have it, when it comes out of the ground, it looks like it's good quality water, but it's got a very low pH. The moment you see oxygen, and if I can refer you back to my very first slide, you see the oxygen now starts the oxidation process, and you have the iron. In the iron format where you can see it, so this red color is really iron plus, and it goes up to a level of about 800 milligrams per liter iron. Slide. One of the reactors. Slide. Eastern Basin. This is where we started. This is the old three shaft Grootsluit mine, and the head gear has been removed. We started in June this year. Slide. This is recently taken. Next slide. And this slide. Slide. And I say, just in terms of cabinet instructions, in parallel to what we've been doing, there was also ingress control, and cabinet also instructed us to look at that, and that's been done by the Department of Mineral Resources. They've appointed Council for Geoscience to help with that, and I'm going to short out most of it, but what's there is there's good response, because they've already completed the Coria Canal, which will now take the water over the central basin. Of course, it reduces the inflow from surface water, and there are other programs as well. Another challenge that we have in the last bullet there on the point number one is the water conservation demand management challenge that the culture, the department and everybody is currently sitting with is the challenge that they have in municipalities having losses in their water system. This is not only a water loss in the system, but that water also flows into the underground system. And that water tomorrow has to be pumped, and of course there is acid mine drainage. So that's also a problem for mine water management. Second one is the pollute based principle, but Didi already elaborated on that. And then on the third one is the environmental levy. This is a process that has been started by the Department of National Treasury, but it's a long process, already been announced by the Minister of Finance in February in his speech then. So it's already in process, and we are currently sitting with the Department of Mineral Resources and National Treasury to with the implementation of that. Next slide. Monitoring is very important. You can't manage if you don't monitor. And then in terms of point number five, the research, Madam Chair, Honourable Members, we said that in the Western Basin, because it's the smallest of all the basins, we can allow people to come in there with new technologies. So from next year, we will allow, I think, the four companies that we can allow to try out their technologies. You can imagine, I'll come to the long-term study, but when the long-term study put out the effectful information, we had about 89 companies at least responding on our invitation. So there's a lot of information already available and technologies, but one can also think that some of them, I call it kitchen chemistry, is really not proven technology. So proven technology is reverse osmosis, and whatever we're going to implement, we're going to weigh it up against reverse osmosis. In terms of the long term, Madam Chair, then the first one is the feasibility study. So what the department did is, while implementing the emerging and the emerging short-term solution, we also did a study what to do with this water in the long term. So this was in parallel with the short-term solution. The study commenced on 30th January and it was finalized in July 2013. Last bullet is, the main objective of the feasibility study was to look at the most cost-effective, technically sound, legally defensible, and economical, viable, and environmentally sustainable long-term solution to remove or suitably reduce the salt level in the Vaal River system. And as I've already explained, this is something that has to be done, because we can't tolerate for longer than 2016-17. Next slide. So these are the options, and I'll go to this slide first. The study indicates that you can leave the water as is. So there's untreated AMD, which of course everybody knows as a no-go. First of that, Madam Chair, the options just mean on this paper that I'm going to point in your face. It's no treatment. We all realize that's a no-go. That was also pointed out in the long-term study. The second one is neutralize the AMD. Once you neutralize it, you can use it for agricultural purposes, you can use it for mining, or you can use it for industry, or you can discharge it into the rivers. So this is what happens currently with neutralizing water and discharge it into the rivers. I showed you already that this is now taking good quality water, so we don't have enough water to keep on diluting this, so we'll go to the next step, which is neutralization and desalination of the AMD. You can then also discharge it back in the river, but that's not a good management option, because then you don't get any revenue for it. And then of course the most suitable options are domestic and for industrial use. So you can either use it for postal purposes, or you can sell it to industry to use it for mining companies. So the key findings is the planned emergency work, so they just confirm what the short-term solution already is implementing. And then of course to desalinate the water, and then ensuring the water security in the Vaal River system. The Department of Water Affairs also has to direct agencies to implement the design, build and operate contracts. In other words, we have to appoint somebody as the implementing agent to design, build and operate for the time being. Secure suitable funding with cost recovery. Commence with the environmental impact assessment, because we still have to do the environmental impact assessment for the long-term solution. Although we've already started with it in the short term, a lot of information is already available, but we still need to complete that. Point service providers for construction through the agencies. So somebody has to design it and somebody has to build it. And then we must secure off-take agreements for beneficial use. I've already said we agreed that this water must be used either for potable or for industrial use. It's still, we still need a paradigm shift, I think, in this country to make use of treated as mine drainage, because scientifically you can treat AMD to a level which is absolutely good quality water, as is the case in Malakini and an optimum mine at the moment, where they take water to a level where you can drink it. But that still has to be implemented.
And then also initiate studies in the weapon making. I've already explained that, where we are going to allow people to come up with new technologies. And of course, this will have to be communicated to the stakeholders. Progress in the long term, Department of National Treasury, Department of Water Affairs and Water and Sanitation, and National Treasury approved the long term of the Sutho Highland Water Project funding mechanism. So what we're saying in that is that there is a funding mechanism where vulnerable users are getting charged to pay for this treatment. A letter has been sent and signed by the Minister of Finance on the 22nd of April to implement that, but it still has to be given to the implementing agency. So we still have to direct the TCGA to do that. That still is part of the bottleneck, and the Minister will make a decision soon on that one. Some mechanism subject to the TCGA being directed by the Minister that I've just said. And then proposed implementing agencies, that is also pending. And a rollout of the long-term study pending sanctioned by the Minister and the IMC. I think the Minister just wants to take this to the IMC, and this will also happen soon. And then the target date for commissioning is 2016-17. So we still have time, but the decision has to be made soon. The next slide, Madam Chair, is the cost. In terms of the cost for the short term, was 550 million rand in the Western Basin. In the Central Basin, it's 650 million rand. And in the Central and Eastern Basin, it's 1.3 billion. So it's a total cost of about 2.5 billion rand. That's just for the short-term solution. In terms of the long-term solution, that's now we desalinate the water to make it accessible for drinking purposes. 1.4 billion rand in the Western Basin, the Central Basin 2.2 billion, and the Eastern Basin is approximately 3 billion rand. In terms of the O&M, that's operational maintenance cost, will about be 990 million rand per annum. What will that mean to the user? 2015-16, the projected increase is about 23 cents per cubic meter, that's for next year, and in 16-17, it will be about 39 cents per cubic meter. Remember, this is only for neutralization. If you go to the long-term solution, that's now 2017 onwards, that could add about 0.99 rand per cubic meter. We're busy with consultation with a Vaal River user. We've already had consultations with Solar, with Kofra, all in most of the municipalities with rain water, but the process is still ongoing. Next slide. So where will this money come from? I can just take into the funding. Of course, the mines already made a contribution in terms of donating funds. Central Land Gold donated some of the two of the funds in the Central Basin. We had donations from VR Gold. They donated the shaft, and just the shaft in the ground can cost you up to about 400 million rand. They also donated the area where we put up the treatment plant. And of course the other one is from the fiscus. From the fiscus so far, the department paid about 650 million rand. Cost recovery, of course the mines, we've mentioned that where we still have to deal with the mines. In terms of the product, you can sell the product. There are new products, you can sell iron pyrite, you can sell gypsum. This still has to be explored, and this will also be part of the research program in the Western Basin. Of course, there's a Vaal River tariff, that's one option, which is at the moment the preferred option. The waste discharge system, that's something that the department is also currently investigating, environmentally. I've mentioned that already. Section 9 for cleaning recovery, and the other one, the last one, is the taxpayer. Honourable members, I will now go to challenges that you have elsewhere in the country. In terms of the Witwatersrand, we have the Witwatersrand we're dealing with now, then it's the Far Western Basin. We have Limpopo and Mpumalanga coalfields. There's a proposed Northwest coalfield. There's the Waterberg, Lepalala area, and also large coal mining adjacent to the Vaal there. That's something that I think everybody reads in the newspapers. And all of these have potential challenges. So we have to deal with that in a proactive manner and not deal with legacies in 10 years or 20 years from now on too. That's just sort of an indication of where all the minerals are sitting. If I can just take you through that slide, you see most of the minerals is in the northern part of the country. There are also some in the western part of the country, but most is in the northeastern part of the country. This is actually very similar to what happens we were in at the Stockholm National Water Week some time ago, and it's all over the world. They have the same problem that we have in South Africa, is that you've got the water on the one side of the country and the minerals are sitting on the other side of the country. So it's a challenge that is not unique in South Africa. The next slide is just to indicate you all the red dots are the new mines, up and coming mines in the Mpumalanga area and in the Olifants River and of course in the Upper Vaal catchment. And you'll see there that there's a lot of new mines. So the Department of Water Affairs, Water and Sanitation and Department of Mineral Resources as well as Environmental Affairs must make sure that we weigh this up against what we're going to gain at the end. And it's a gain, you know, the development versus the environment. The next slide is just to indicate to you how it really looks like if you have a mine that's decanting into a system. Then, as I say, my second last slide is just in terms of, you know, what are challenges that we have currently in the department. Is this the Sutu Island Water Project funding mechanism must be unlocked for project continuity? That's important. We have to appoint operation maintenance agency or the implementing agency for the Central Basin because the construction people is at the point of leaving the site now, so we need to appoint someone to the operation and maintenance. We have to further upgrade the Western Basin, that's a challenge, because we know that at the moment we are running short of capacity. We are currently dealing with Mintails. Mintails did not have the house in order in the past, and we were stopped by the relevant minister, and we're busy with Mintails, so we hope that once they comply to all the regulatory activities, then we can probably deal with them, make a deal with them so that we can make use of their facilities. And then of course they have to direct the urban agencies to do implementing agents or to do environmental impact assessment to get land access, because if you want to build treatment plants you need further land, and of course the PSC appointment is also important. Consultation must be finalized with the Vaal River users. We know it's a very sensitive matter, but as I've pointed out already, this is unfortunately the only way up now. And then of course off-site agreements for desalinated acid mine drains from the long term must be concluded. Then what the department is currently doing is we're in the process of developing a mine water management unit that will do project management and oversight of mine water management countrywide. Because what we're doing now at the moment is we're dealing with a bit like a sand, but we realize that even from this house the next claim that, you know, this is one problem, but deal with the rest of the country, and the department is in the process of establishing such a mine unit. The last slide is just a governance structure which is already in place. Of course it's cabinet, it's an interministerial committee on mine water management, and then of course there is a portfolio committee, Madam Chair, this committee. Reporting to the interministerial committee is then the intergovernmental task team, which also has the governmental task team, and it's being chaired by the department, and government task team is co-chaired by the Department of Mineral Resources and by ourselves. So the next thing is this management unit, and I'm not going to elaborate on that, but that needs to be put in place to make sure that we can deal with all the challenges in terms of mine water management. Because what we're doing now is we're dealing with acid mine drainage, instead of that, rather be proactive, so that we ensure that we don't have similar challenges in the future. Thank you very much.
But if she could just ask Neil to take us through the status quo on mine operating. Just one slide.
Thank you, DG, Honorable Acting Chair members. Just to pick up on my...
Sorry, Chair. If there are more than one microphone on, then we can't record for radio. We can't pick up.
Thank you, Manager. My microphone was off. Just to pick up on a few principles, thank you, DG. My suggestion is that we because this is a presentation on the AMD, we probably need to come to the committee with a separate detailed presentation on water use authorizations and mine and licenses and what progress we've made to date. So we put this slide in the context of AMD because of obviously AMD is in fact pollution, and the three things that came out of Marius's presentation is that we do want to be actively enforcing the polluter pay principle. The current challenge around the fact that why does the current generation have to pay for mines that were polluted many years ago, and we have a strategy to deal with that, but I think that currently the main challenge is that the current generation, our current citizens are required to pay for as the greatest sins of the past. So that's an issue that we are pursuing in terms of enforcement. Obviously, there was that case of the Harmony Gold, where the court gave clear direction that the mines will be held responsible for past pollution. So these statistics around the mines operating without water use authorizations, we've just put that there on to show what is the current status. But my suggestion is that we come back to the committee to do a detailed presentation. Safe to say that we have dealt with the water use license eradication of the backlog during the month of October. My team and I have been working on weekends to get the backlog sorted, as well as the current licenses. And essentially we've got a new team, we've got a new business process, and I think that to do justice to that authorizations and licenses presentation, we probably need to come back and give a more detailed presentation and not necessarily include it in the AMD presentation. Madam Chair, I think I've got to stop there and be guided by the House.
We are suggesting a 5 minute break and go to the second presentation, because all these presentations are dealing with issues of same issues. So we'll just take a 5 minute crash and go direct to the Chamber of Mines. They are also reporting the progress in the intervention, and then also the extent of the collaboration in the Department of Water and Sanitation. So we are going to have all the presentation and come with questions. There are only these two presentations. So we'll take them together and come with questions. Can we just take a 5 minute stage break?
Thank you. Thank you.
Our 5 minutes is gone now. Can we call members? Thank you, members. I hope the presenter is ready for our support presentation. And then our DGs have other commitments. When the time has come, she also leave us to the other meeting. And we have an apology of minister. I forgot to mention it. We know that they have the conference. She's also part of the conference. So we hope also her apologies accepted. So we'll just go direct to the presentation. Chamber of Mines. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Honorable Member. My name is Nick Tufi. I'm a senior executive for the Chamber of Mines. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members, ladies and gentlemen. I will say my name is Nick Tufi. I'm a senior executive at the Chamber of Mines, responsible for environment, health, and mine system of occupational health. I'm accompanied by Ms. Tignam Dau, who is the head of environment at the Chamber of Mines. Our presentation is going to basically outline the Chamber's views about how this mine drainage is managed, and of course, what our own recommendations to make of how to add value to the process that the department is undertaking. But I thought as a health warning, I need to put this slide up, that the Chamber is an advocacy organization. It does not have executive authority over mining companies, but it is a platform for collective decision making by the industry. And asset management falls within that scope where collective effort of the industry is required to assist the department to achieve its objectives. Secondly, the Chamber is a catalyst for industry performance improvement. That that is, we are responsible for making sure that in the absence of regulatory standards, we develop our own guidelines in terms of how to assist the industry to improve its performance in the environmental, safety, and occupational health space. And we are also the catalyst of ensuring that the members of the Chamber of Mines actually comply with the necessary regulatory requirements that their houses are in order. Now, this point is very important because I think we want to put it up front that mining is a regulated activity, that it doesn't happen that one morning someone simply decides to open a mine. It means an application was submitted, information was submitted, evaluations were done, and a government decision was made. And therefore, even if there's a concern about the number of mining applications that we put in a particular area, the fact of the matter is that those applications have been approved by government. Thirdly, we need to deal more effectively with legacies of the past. As I indicated earlier, that mining has been taking place over 120 years. There are a number of legacies, and ethnic damage is just one of those. And the Chamber is committed to partner with the department in terms of dealing with those legacies. The Chamber also is committed to develop a contribution model by putting South Africa first. What we mean by that is that the share price of a mining company is not necessarily determined by the management practices or the superior business practices of a particular company only. It's also affected by the share price of the country. Therefore, it becomes imperative for the Chamber to add its weight where it's possible in terms of achieving the developmental objectives of the country. Now, the members that I speak on behalf of are in this class. So I think maybe the print is small. But I think I wanted just to indicate that we represent both major and to an extent even some of the second tier mining companies and the third tier mining companies. This description of second tier and third tier are very important because it will explain some of the legacies that we maintain, that we are getting, that the regulatory framework that need to be, you know, strengthened to review that progression of where mining companies basically leave legacies to emergent miners who not necessarily appreciate the circumstances of a particular mine. Now, mining has been an integral part of South Africa. And basically, the sector, you know, is prevalent in discussions about the politics and how politics feed on mining and how mining feed on politics. And I guess the current crisis that we experience them are basically a reflection of the relationship between a poor regulatory framework and how corporate greed of historical past. Now, these negative legacies manifest themselves in a number of areas. We have labor relations issues, we have socio-economic problems, we have occupational health and safety issues, we have a big environmental footprint, land degradation, and biodiversity degradation. But also we can give the benefit of the doubt that these legacies actually evolved over time, and this evolution was characterized probably by regulatory inadequacies and certain corporate policies which took advantage of those regulatory inadequacies. I can give an example that if the tailings facilities that we have that may be potential may have a potential impact on groundwater resources, the information that we have Now, and the regulatory approaches that were in existence at the time when they were established, there may well have been no appreciation that if they were heaps, they were going to pollute groundwater. But then in terms of corporate policies, engineers, there was a priority in terms of decision-making processes. That if you put water pollution control there, engineers will tell you that you need to put it in a free draining area to improve water stability. But in an environmental aspect, probably informs them that if you do that, if you put a dam on a free draining area, it will pollute groundwater. But because of the delay of decision making processes, the environmental pattern was probably overruled. Now, I try to give you a slide in terms of the evolution of legislation so that you understand that we are not going to win if we adopt a one-size-fits-all approach. I think we need to appreciate that the mine developed over time, and that those who were established in the 50s and the 40s were established under a particular framework. And therefore, our legislation, when we develop it, should be such that it appreciates that although the law may be designed for different projects, it still needs to be applicable to brownfield project, and it needs to be adapted accordingly so that it takes into account those nuances and those variabilities. Although I think that picture of a mining industry that have left us with a lot of legacies, I think I've got a responsibility to highlight that the industry still has a future, that it presents a good opportunity for development of the country. And historically, it has managed to do that. From the creation of new towns, the infrastructure that we enjoy, the skills that we used in the past, and essentially, it serves as the backbone of South Africa's economy. And it still has an opportunity to provide that developmental platform. But I'm using this opportunity to indicate that mining still needs to be supported, because the essential daily issues, daily things that you use in life are premised on mining products. The cell phone that people have is essentially a mine, a mineral product, the product of a conglomeration of minerals. The car that people drive, the move to the green economy require mineral mining products. Even the smile and the city requires mining products. Now, having said that, I think I'm just trying to balance the fact that mining is an essential component of our daily lives. But you need to take cognizance that you need to undertake it in a very responsible manner. And that there's an appreciation from the industry that they need to improve its environmental performance. And therefore, it's quite essential that we use a proper lens in terms of evaluating its performance. That we are able to distinguish between the performance of current mining operations and the poor performance of historical mining operations. And give credit where it's due, and we punish those who don't perform. Now, in terms of the mine drainage issues, I think I'm going down the number of slides here because it's after the fact, and the department has already moved forward in terms of the issues that I was going to raise here. The first one is that the industry did develop a solution that is presented to the department. And maybe it may not be necessary, but maybe we'll pick up the questions later. The department does not see fit to approve that proposal until the interministerial task team was established and a state response. Was developed, which Marius presented earlier. So all the issues about how we submitted the feasibility study to the department, the stakeholder engagement that we undertook, the definition of the scale of the AMD problem, the quality and quantities that we determined, and the options that put on the table, I think our hotel at the bridge, so they may come up, especially later on. But I think what I'm trying to say is that we move on in terms of the proposal that we put there at the time. And that we are currently looking at the government coaching where we participate by invitation in terms of the processes that the department has put forward. We do participate in those processes, but we do participate by invitation, as I say, when there is a specific recommendation or a specific insight that they require from us. Now, I want to pick up an issue which the department may not be clear about, but I'm going to say in any case. The first one is, although they've got all the plans that they put forward, my take from where I see, I dare say that the proposal will not be able to resolve the acid mine drainage problem going forward, because each mine is being authorized to operate independently of its neighbors. And we've come to realize that none of those mines are able to close independently of its neighbors. And therefore, we need to adopt a regulatory framework which recognizes that the mine needs to be managed in a regional fashion, where they are required by law to cooperate, to share plans, to integrate plans, in such a manner that when they close, because they'll never close at the same time, that the phase out closing of the mine is done in a planned manner, such that the last thing in mind does not necessarily have to retain all the liability of previous operation. And I'm simply raising that as coming from the experience that I've seen. I've seen the best, I've seen the worst. I'm simply saying that in terms of our current approaches, we are not going to prevent future legacy. From our side, in terms of the individual mind perspective of how they are undertaking their responsibility, we have a regular line with the department in terms of making sure that the individual mining companies keep their houses in order. We have operated in terms of developing best practice guidelines in water management. We have cooperated with the department in terms of developing water conservation and demand management, making sure that each mine can account for each drop, which are members of the Chamber of Mines. We have identified the fact that in terms of the information that you have, the information may not be what the paper that is written on. There's developing mechanisms in terms of improving our water balances so that the information that is applied to the department is what the paper that is written on. And we believe that in the next 18 months, members of the Chamber of Mines would be able to account for their water management. They would be able to account as to how far they've been able to move from their current status of efficiency to a more efficiency where they use more for less. And we will continue in terms of making our technical input into the implementation process that was put up here. But we need to put forward that we believe that there's a serious case for opportunities in terms of private sector participation in the process that the department has put forward. It may be in the form of the nature of the public-private partnership that needs to be undertaken from the off-take agreement, from technology options, you know, from partnering the department in terms of making the proposal a sustainable one, rather than one where, you know, literally water goes into the face. And we are willing to engage the department in terms of what our proposals are in dealing with those specifics. And we are also aware that sometimes there's a mixture of external water with authorization holder, and the nature of state assistance that is required under such circumstances, I think, needs to be evaluated. I think the criteria where we can safely say if a mine is in an area where there are legal issues, the mine should have determined or have done their due diligence in terms of determining whether they are going to be profitable or not. And if they are not going to be profitable, but there is a need for job creation and social development, then the state needs to agree the terms of what sort of state assistance is being provided for that particular mine if it was to operate in the legacy area. Now, the authorization holder, I've indicated that the chamber does not have executive authority of mining companies. But there's a problem that is manifesting itself. That if there are mines that are operating without water use licenses, it remains the responsibility of the state to ensure that there are mines that operate legally. And therefore, we need to make sure that the state is sufficiently capacitated to be able to discharge its responsibility to make sure that all those mines that have submitted applications, they have proper engagement with the department and a decision is taken whether to issue or not. Not a long-term consultation process that is never ending where the mine essentially operates without a license until the 5 years of that license expires and they go and we have issued a legacy. I think the department will bear with me because I really wanted to stay in space so that you know, we can engage openly in terms of the challenges that we see in terms of state capacity. In conclusion, Mr. Kiat indicated that the problem of ex-mine drainage is not unique to South Africa. Most of the mature mining jurisdictions have got this problem. But each jurisdiction deals with ex-mine drainage in terms of its political and economic evolution. In the UK, for instance, the state is undertaking the rehabilitation work in terms of dealing with ex mine drainage, but simply because those mines were initially owned by the state and then they were privatized, and the kind of privatization of that the state will take responsibility for future rehabilitation. You've got similar programs in Australia where an institution is established essentially to look at how to prioritize those areas that are having negative impacts on society and environment. And those are then prioritized in terms of government programs to deal with those particular challenges. And the same principle applies to the United States of America and Canada. What I'm really saying is that our regulatory framework has not provided for the establishment of an institution or a structure that would essentially look at the negative of mining, because whether we like it or not, the country did benefit from the historical practices of mining. The taxes that they paid, they may not have been full internalization of cost, but the fact of the matter that they operated in a legal framework. My conclusion essentially that we need to search for win-win situations. And win-win situations only come as a result of cooperation. Where the industry takes unilateral action, there are short-term gains but there are long-term problems. I'll give an example of the MRT water treatment plant as an example of where the industry can take unilateral action, but in the long term, you will see the problem. One, the infrastructure of the treatment plant is such that there's no chance that Anglo will be able to operate that facility in perpetuity. And therefore, mechanisms which have been put in place of how, over a long time period, the capacity and the ability to be able to run that plant is gradually being transferred from the private sector into the state, either at provincial or local level, but through a process of capacity building and building up of ability for future management of that facility. That's one. Two, it can be a unilateral action in the sense that you may put up this water treatment facility, the state of the art water treatment facility, if you treat the water to distilled water quality, but the water may only be clean for 600 meters because after that, there's a decay from an abandoned mine, which makes the water acid again. So the oil investment is only valid for probably 600 meters until it comes into contact with other irresponsible corporations which do not have necessarily put out proper water management practices. All that I'm trying to indicate that there's a case for partnership, there's a case for collaboration, there's a particular role for the state, and there's a particular role for individual mining companies. And the only thing that we have is that individual mining companies have all the regulations to comply with, but the state takes time in terms of coming apart and dealing with those issues. My last point is a different regulatory framework that I have been mentioned earlier. That from the Sheva side, we strongly believe that there's an obligation on the part of government departments to cooperate. It is not justifiable that one government department may issue an authorization and another government department protest against that authorization. Because we simply believe that it's one government. It may have many mandates. You know, we may have government departments with conflicting mandates, but I think there are in-place mechanisms in terms of aligning objectives. So it becomes worrying that an authorization is issued next to the boundary of the state. How did that authorization come about? Didn't the Department of Water Affairs intervene in the education? Why did the Department of Mineral Resources not consult the department in terms of issuing that authorization? To the extent that that operation, if it threatened the water resources of the country, why was it authorized? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. We will go direct to the questions in the hands of Honorable Basson. It's a long standing hand. It's having some daily issues. So now we are giving members time for questions for clarity, comments, and questions in large. But the questions will be direct to the presentation, please, members. We won't go out of the presentation. We'll go direct into presentation. Anything that we have, it must be related to what it has presented. I think the hand of Honorable Basso. Honorable Mguni, Bilangulu, Honorable Makondo, Honorable Kaula, and Honorable Shilem. Honorable Shilem, you introduce yourself when you speak, because you came after and have introduced yourself. Thank you, Honorable Basson.
Thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, I wanted to start with the department first, but I will do that in my second question. My first question is to the Chambers of Mines. The impression that I get is that we are in a blame game situation. It's like I'm driving 150 kilometers an hour in a 60 kilometer zone, but if they don't catch me, it's the responsibility of law enforcement to catch me. If they don't catch me, it's fine. So, you know, I don't agree with what the mines are trying to tell us, that it's the government's responsibility. It's their responsibility. They are the people that's making money out of it. It's them that's polluting our water streams. And they should come to the party. I want to ask a question, because the environment is suffering along the line. And the environmental levy to be imposed is in the public domain at the moment. I want to know from the mines whether they are having discussions with government and within their chambers, having discussions what the impact going to be, how they're going to react on such a levy. It's wonderful to tell me what mining has done for South Africa. We appreciate that. There are other industries that are exactly the same, but they are not polluting like these guys are polluting our water streams. Government has to, and there was funding on the Western Basin, the Central and Eastern Basin, where government has taken up the challenge. But my concern is, if you look at all those dots, we are not where the mines are polluting, like in the Olifant River. That goes to the Kruger National Park. Stadfontein. They're polluting the human of humankind, the cradle of humankind. Those in Stadfontein, that is also polluted. People are utilizing water. It goes the Western Bay water. I know, I understand, we are busy with that. It goes downstream to Hartlepoort, and it goes down the Crocodile River, and they use that water to produce vegetables of our things. So it comes back to, you think you are not getting involved. You are getting involved because you are buying those vegetables coming from those areas. But from the mine side, to tell us, government must be strict. Why should the government be on their back the whole time? They know what is right and what should be done. And if their organization doesn't mean anything, why do they have that organization? Then they must get the organization to have more chief to assist government to make sure that those mines that is not in line help government and close those mines. But it's wrong to say we leave it for government now to sort out. I want answers on that. What I would like to ask Mr. Tierty is that he has mentioned that the osmosis, the reverse osmosis is new technology. And I know in Mpumalanga some of the mines they have put package plants on the ground. So it could be put in a container, could be moved around. Isn't that the cheaper method of dealing with this, going through membranes to clean the water? Because he has mentioned it, I'm asking whether we should go and build these huge plants whilst we can put the package plants on in areas where we get the pollution and move them around. So that's my question. I think my huge concern is, and then lastly, I would also like to see this proposal that the mining sector has made to the department, so that we can also comment on it, just to see whether they are really serious. Because if the department has rejected it, I would like to see why the department has rejected it, and whether these guys are just in for making money out of mining and not making a contribution to put money back in resolving the environment. If I can get clarity on that. Thank you, Shepard.
Thank you very much, Shepard. You not amused by the presentation from the Chamber of Mines. You see, there are slides which look like sort of blackmailing. Isn't it here? We know that most minerals are healthier in the healthy living of South Africa, in South Africa. But they should not be used as a way of us being quiet, of putting hazards in the environment. While we appreciate what is done by mines, the mind must also appreciate that we need a healthy, clean environment in South Africa. What they should be telling us here is what role do they want to play to keep our water safe from acid mine drainage infection. What they should be telling us, how do they want to assist us in the already catalyzed, affected environment and future environmental hazard. You think it is one clean water there? We know there's this acid drain, AMG is there. So we know that it's there, but they have to tell us how they want to help the government. We must not play the issue of a traffic cop bad driver approach. When the bad driver does not see a traffic cop, they can speed it anyhow. We want a person to within the regulation, even if it's not seen by the government. It must be them who are telling the government that we have noticed this and that and that, and this is how we want you to be helping us, or you help. That's how we should be. They must not play the blame game while they are pollinating some of our environment here.
to the department. There's a fact there where the department talks about the impact of this acid mine drainage. What impact it has on the GDP. And all that lies, the department is arguing on the acid mine drainage sustainability management intervention. Looking at your short and long-term management of this acid mine drainage, to me, there's no clear point of critical aspect of intervention within the sustainable or sustainability of this intervention. Can the department please comment on this initiative, which will help us to have a sustainable management on this issue that we're dealing with? And also, we know that the state is also playing a role in shouldering this financial cost on this acid mine drainage, mostly in the West Waterfront area. Can they tell us a plan of action on how and when they would love to monitor this issue of acid mine drainage? Chairperson, I will come with other questions on the back of our guys. I hope we are going to have one.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to welcome the presentation, both from the Chamber of Mines and from the department. All the presentations were very nice, but what is left is the implementation. The way they presented it, if they were to implement it the way, I believe that the six parliaments are not going to talk about this like what we're doing now as the fifth parliament. Because the indication here, it means the plan has started during the fourth parliament. But it seems as if nothing happened till now. To the Chamber of Mines, it was difficult to follow up while presenting. Because your pages are not numbered on your slides. So sometimes we get lost on them. Hope next time you'll be numbering your pages accordingly. To the department, my first question is, how do different spheres of government remediate streams adversely affected by acid mine drainage? Could the relevant stakeholders provide details on the number of streams rehabilitated thus far and the progress thereof? Chairperson, I think I will take the other round. I still have some questions, but for now it's okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Well, we welcome both presentations by the department and the Chamber of Mines. Of course, I got worried after the Chamber of Mines presented, Chair, because I could not get any concrete proposal as to how are they going to assist in the problem that we are faced with of acid mine drainage. But also I can't agree with them on the assertion that they are saying mines have played a critical role in our society, they've created towns, they've created infrastructure, and so forth. I call that a blackmailing and intimidation, because the number of effects, negative effects that this industry has created in communities in which are mining. It can't be exit mine drainage only.
number of people are dying about diseases which they get contact in this environment. But I can't agree, Chair, to a situation where people must die simply because the department failed to respond immediately to the proposal that is put. I don't agree. I can't agree to that assertion. Well, I did not heard that. I have not seen that proposal, what it entails. Of course, I would want to be finished with it so that I look at it, but also I want to understand from the department what are the issues that led them not to approve that particular proposal. I don't think that a good mining industry will say if the department fails to accede to that, then we'll leave the situation as it is and people die. It can't. I don't agree with them, Chair. I heard them talking about something which is very so interesting, and I want to understand their view that relates to that government approve the operations of mine independently. I would understand you in a particular area will have different mines operating there, and I can't agree with them because those mines normally will not close the very same time. I want to understand from them what they think should be the approach going forward so that we deal with this situation. The other issue, Chair, is related to the department. I want to know of the mine companies that were operating in the western, central, and eastern. If those mines did have water licenses, I want to understand that. The other issue is related to the fragmentation of the legislation, which made it very difficult to deal with this problem of mine drainage. What is it that the department intends to do with other sister departments so that we address this problem? It does not become a problem of Department of Water Affairs working on the sidelines. How do we then bring legislation that talk to one another? The other issue, I want to understand the issue of funding. Because the perpetrator is sitting out there and does not care what happens. And the department now is saying that the Lesotho Highland Water Project is going to assist the how the effect to the completion of that particular project of the Lesotho Highlands, if you divert fund acid mine drainage when the perpetrator is sitting there enjoying profit, how are you going to do it? I want to clarify, Chair. I'm told there will be a second round and will come back.
Honorable Kaula, followed by Honorable Shim. I just heard that Honorable Shim.
And you want to start one or Musa?
Well, not the same to Musa.
Oh, I'm not going to be able to do that.
into esiyihlalele lapha noma uqhuba isikhathi wayi ngishiswe yini na ngishiswa kuthi siyasihlandle likomiti kuthumile ndamuko uyagula sihlalele likomiti thumilisa usakala naye kanjalo uyabona lena ekugcina sesikumanzi singembuzo siyifuna siyiqondise ngqo naye ekhona singabazi uthi sisovula i-TV uyambululeke ubhinda asebenza usebenza ngamanye amazia sebenza usabuhlukene lanjengale nto yasegiyane iqoseni yami ibuhlunga sethu ngoba njengoba hlezi la into ekuqala ngeza ngokwey'nqakini nazo ziwuphelele ikhombisa ukuthi ngempela kudelizwe sikulona aziqabange nhlobo labantu esiphila nabo banayo i-South Africa especially abamnyama egiyane bona kuthavulwa amanzi bekuwumangameli nominista wayathethe uminista manje eGiyani njalo uzukhona manje sitshela ukuthi izolo njengoba bekulethile abantu amanzi abanawo manje ngibona sasegcina sidlala la kufike lapho sikhuluma izinto la futhi basedleka zenza zigijima bahamba abantu yini eqondene ngempela nje kufuneka yenziwe akekho manje eGiyani njengoba kukhuluma nani kodwa ngesikhathi ukumangameli benominista baya lapha bafika manje abakhona beze bawaphula kusho ukuthi ngamanye amazinto aphangithi kusho ukuthi umuntu esiyihlalela la zifana nomdlalo ngoba akukhona process ifuna kwenzeka nokufuna emalini manje la manzi lawa emgodi akhona akakakhonkonke lokade sikubiza kwenzeka ngiyabonga mnangilabo nje angilwi kodwa ngisalazi basesiyobasila ayikho ikhayisizi ekujenga amanzi namatoilet azabazi ngamanye kube zonke izinto abantu bahlupheka inyama ekuhane kuyimanje bayawathenga bazade lifonele izona ngiyabonga.
Thank you, Chair Person. In the absence of the interpreters, I will help out. Ms. Paula wanted to agree with the former statements made by the Hebelit, but she also wanted to find out from the DJ especially if they are here to waste time or is there anything that they are here to achieve. The reason she's saying that is because whenever they sit as the committee, the minister and the deputy minister are not there, but they always see them on TV. For example, she said that recently they saw the minister on TV launching a project in Giyani together with the president. But as she speaks now, people of Giyani have called her and they are saying there is no water, even though we saw the minister tapping the water and even drinking it. And therefore she feels that coming here is just a waste of time because whatever that the department says is doing does not go to the people. Thank you.
Only two questions.
I only have two questions to ask. The first one is about
Thank you, Chair. I'm eating dessert at the back. But I'm not intimidatable. Chair, Umari Akewala Shelembe, an authentic member of this portfolio committee. My question, I think it is simple, is that it's now the fifth democratic parliament and we are still discussing the poor management or the pollution to our water by mining. How can you convince me that as we are now discussing at matter today, we are going to see the permanent solution to that matter, so that not the same does not appear in the next or in the sixth parliament? And I believe there was an issue about negative legacy referred to labor relations. I didn't get clear why we are saying there is a problem in regard to the labor in the mining industry. I'll be happy to hear that. If there is a problem, what is that being done to ensure that does not affect the rights of the people to have access to clean water? Otherwise, if that is not resolved, we will be discussing the same about the labor being not, I mean, it's the problem. I think I will end up from here. Thank you.
The first question is about the operations, the licenses that many mines do not have. Can we get a copy from the department and also from the Chamber of Mines identifying to us how many of these mines which are operating without licenses? Secondly, we are exposed to some research that indicates that there is a possibility that we are working towards a desertification of this area. Are we really, is there a point where we shall find a desert where we are? If we can just get a clear example, are we really having enough water? The third one is the sadness of the people who have worked on the mines. As I am speaking now, again, there are long queues. People at home suffering from various diseases and people suffering from all the after effects of mining. When are they going to be paid? When are those people going to be paid? Some have already died now. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you clarify if you are saying mines without licenses? Are you talking about water licenses or? Thank you. I think the list will come on the, when you call for the presentation, on the status quo. So you will couple that list. I think all members are fine. We'll just go to the answering session. When answering, you must bear in mind that you know issues of water is an emotional issue. When you are dealing with water, you must be, must just be sensitive. When you are talking about giving an example of how mines are contributing in our country, it is a circus. You do call gates and everything, people must buy. So if they don't buy, the money won't work. You don't have where you can take all the issues, the resources. So in the second, what you need to do is that we must deal with the challenges that is affecting our country as people, as businesses, so that the country is growing. So when we deal with these questions, we must balance the issues. We should not just talk about our side and leave the other side. So I think when you come with your responses, you'll manage the issues so that we take South Africa forward. Can we go straight to the question, DJ? And also, when you give your questions, please just, where it's possible, give your time frames, where it's possible, so that when we do our oversight, we should follow your time frame. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Dealing with the issue of the minister, Honorable Kaula, always when you give the apology of the minister, we talk about the where she is. Like today we are saying she's at the conference. Obviously, if the media in the conference, you see her on TV and she's not here. So we always give the challenges that you have or the appointments where she is. So I don't think it's the challenge when we report where the minister is. And we have agreed that if there is a need, that the minister must come to the portfolio committee, because when there is a cabinet day, we will request to use the other days, like Thursday or Friday, so that she may come and account to the committee. I think we have agreed in the last meeting. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will answer some of the questions, but I'm gonna, some of them are also technical in nature, so I'll ask Marius to respond to it. Let me start with the Western Utility Company and the proposal that both Member Mahundo and Nguni referred to. I think we must agree that you must certainly have sight of the proposal so that you understand the reason for the disagreement in terms of what was suggested. But in a nutshell, what we can indicate is that government, of course, is governed by procurement legislation. What was suggested was the appointment of a specific company without any legal procurement process that would have been followed. Now, I'm not allowed as the accounting officer or the accounting officer then to agree that a particular company be appointed. There must be an open and a fair process that must be followed. So that is the first one. There are huge government resources that have been required to deal with the issue. And a number of members have raised the issue of the commitment that government had to make of a legacy that was not caused by itself, but by mining companies. So it means that we have to be transparent in terms of how those funds are then being utilized. The company did not have any take-off agreement with anybody with regards to water that would be utilized. But the final issue that made the department disagree was that they wanted financial support from government that was going to make money out of it. Now that is as plain and simple and as plain as I can be about it. So it was for that reason that we rejected the proposal. As I said, I think Chair Maria will add to it, but that is in a nutshell what the considerations were. We are willing to share the proposal with you so that you then understand why it was that we would have agreed with them. Then with regards to the implementation of it, and the fact that it has taken the department so long to get to this point, from a member, Bilangkulu. Am I saying that? Yes. Yes. The issue is that it was a matter that was only came to the fore in the second term, more or less. So round about in the 10th year of democracy, the issue of asset and drainage really became a big issue. There wasn't quite an understanding of what the magnitude of the problem was, and a large number of years went into researching it. Again, you will get all sorts of people who want to sell ideas to you and indicate to you that this is how you must deal with it. So we have to be very careful and sober about how we went about it. The first indications of dealing with the problem amounted to billions of rands. And on that point, or at that point, Cabinet then indicated that we needed to have guidance from an interministerial committee. So the interministerial committee really is the political steering committee that indicated clearly how we must move forward on it. And because it cut across not just the issue of minerals, the issue of regulation, the issue of water, the issue of licensing was indicated. And right, let's also agree. The way in which our government system is set up means that departments really work in silence. It's not to this day a problem. If you look at the Public Finance Management Act, accounting officers really are responsible and accountable for their area of work. It's very difficult to work cross purposes if you are not forced to do that. Now, there are indications where it works. An example, the PICC works well on infrastructure projects because you have, again, an interministerial committee, but you also have it legislated now. So legislation allows the government to work across where there are strategic infrastructure commitments that are made, and that implies that other departments will have an impact on each other. what I'm willing to do, or what I'm suggesting and recommending in terms of how do we deal with the issue of licensing, or where, as the member Basson has indicated, how is possible that you award a license, but other departments are not known in it, where there's an impact on them, to actually use this technical committee with other DGs to iron out a process for applications to be dealt with in the short term. Because I can't sit back and say, well, there's no legislation that doesn't force me or force the Department of Mineral as resources when they have an application for mine licensing to actually not award it if they didn't consult with the Department of Water if there's a water implication. But I do believe that we can reach agreements in terms of the way that we structure ourselves and how we go about water applications. So I'm willing to take it upon myself, Chair, to have the discussion with other DGs so that we have an agreement that before you award, can you refer to the department? And let someone immediately concede. I have known of that there are long time lags around the issue of applications. And we all must try and close or rather shorten the application period so that people receive notification as soon as possible and are able to indicate reason for a criteria. I'm sure it's clear in legislation how a license application or what criteria is used to award licenses. But at least we must be able to also bring the different pieces of legislation together in terms of the Environmental Act and make, if it's not yet part of that application and criteria, then we must be able to say to the person that is applying that you must ensure that the following is in place. I also agree with the suggestion, Chair, that we don't deal from chamber, that we don't deal with individual applications in its now without considering who is in that particular region. So we do it now. The department, as you know from our presentation last week, has already established 9 regions. That we then deal with it in terms of those 9 regions and look at what is in a particular region and also be able to work together with the Chamber of Mines so that there is a regional agreement with regards to the impact on the environment. So that in the event of a company or mining house withdrawing because it's no longer viable, that the other partners are able to then indicate. But remember, there is a rehabilitation around this particular mine that must still happen, and we are able to monitor it together with the Department of Environment. So the fragmentation of the legislation with regards to Member Makondo, I'm going to allow Anil to just discuss or give some input around it, but at least from my side, what I can say is that where we are able to make the necessary amendments, we must do so. But again, in application of a licensee, where they make application, we must be able to list the various responsibilities under pieces of legislation. So even if it sits in different pieces of legislation, we must be able to say that you are obliged to adhere to the following requirements, and that is born out of a piece of legislation. But it will be for the monitoring and evaluation units and the regulatory units to ensure that they meet those requirements. So I'm not too concerned about the different pieces of legislation. It is for the regulating agency to ensure that indeed they meet those particular requirements. So we must say upfront, compliance. Without the following compliance, you are not going to get a license. But then it is to hold them. Because often you will get a license, you're receiving a license, and then there's a link in terms of whether they meet those compliance obligations or not. So it's for the department to ensure that they have the necessary capacity there to monitor constantly. With regard to our regions, we are strengthening our regions. I believe that it is up to, we must put the necessary capacity at regional level to ensure that, and it breaks down. If it's at a head office level, and you are monitoring across country, the chances are it will fall through the cracks. So it must be the regions that monitor periodically and constantly in terms of the fact that people are meeting requirements and the criteria that have been set. Of course, we must work very closely with the Department of Environmental Affairs to ensure that the green scorpions and the blue scorpions are able to pick up very quickly that there is a disaster in the making. We can't get ourselves 220 years later. and say now we are dealing with a similar problem because we have not been monitoring it. We must be proactive so that my houses are able to adhere and they are not listening to the situation. It's best, especially the emerging mining houses that are now receiving licenses. We must be able to prevent them from worsening our situation. I think let me, if I have other comments to make, I will make them. But Chair, just a note to the Chamber of Mines. We are certainly ready to work with them around what is clearly a issue where we are enjoined. The fact that there were mining houses that were in our environment and are now not held accountable for what is a huge problem for our country, of course nobody is disputing that, nobody is going to argue against it. It is about finding a lasting solution around it. The medium term, this is my conclusion, the medium and long term solutions are the ones that Marius has been referring to around the desalination process. We are at the point where we are convinced that the issue of neutralization is possible. However, we need large quantities of water, as we indicated, to actually deal with the neutralization process. But that in itself is not a long-term solution. It is to find the technology to desalinate the water. But as I said, it is expensive. We are not at the point of making the decision as to which technology. There are various technologies. Reverse osmosis, as Member Bassan has indicated, is one of them. Whether the freestanding package plant is a solution, I think it's still up for debate. What Melissa has indicated, Chair, is that she wants in November a presentation from all of the role players, so that it enables her to make an informed decision. And those role players must include countries that have similar kinds of problems, that have dealt with it and have or are applying technologies at the moment. They have tried and tested it. We don't need to make the same mistakes, because some of the technology they would have found to be inefficient or get expensive. They have moved a long way. So we must learn from them, and I do know that they are very willing to share in terms of the experience and in terms of the technology that has now become much more cheaper to do. So we must avoid people that sell, you know, they call it the snake oil sellers, because they would use smoke screens and mirrors to convince us of particular technologies. But we must be able to indicate very clearly to them what it is that we believe will be a lasting solution. And that meeting will take place in November to allow Minister to then give a direction in terms of the next phase, which is the medium to long-term solution, and of course to indicate very clearly what the financial modeling is going to be, to come to Mayor Makondo's question, because that is very important. Marius has indicated that of course the preferred model is to lean heavily on the tariff model as it relates to the Lesotho Highlands project. We were referring to the modeling that is used there. And of course it is the recovery of cost model, and that's where we use the tariff. Personally, I think you'll probably need a mixed solution or financial model, but I don't want to preempt it. Part of that discussion with the minister and with the role players and experts that will be inviting is to look at how other countries have in fact dealt with the financing of this. And to pass it on exclusively onto the end user may not be ideal, but it is something that we will have to consider very, very carefully, because you may, of course, have a problem where the users then are going to resist the issue. But we must also not allow the mining houses to get away with it, and if need be, to pursue them wherever they are, through you, Chair, Mr. Makondo, to find them, because they must be still existing. Whether they are offshore or not, we must be able to pursue them. We must be able to negotiate with them through the Chamber of Mines as well, Chair, so that they make good in terms of the legacy that they have left us. So let me pause there and ask, of course, Mario as well as Trevor Bowser to respond to some of the outstanding matters.
Madam Chair, honourable members, thanks, DJ. I think you've answered most of the questions. Just maybe in terms of technology, as we said, reverse osmosis is a preferred technology at the moment. However, one cannot make money out of acid mine drainage. You can use the best technology in the world, and you cannot make money out of it. The only technology that you can probably do something with at the end is to use passive treatment systems. And passive treatment systems is something that my colleague from the Chamber of Mines have mentioned. You know, it's probably something that we're aiming at, so that in a mine, one day get closure, that they can walk away. And the only way to do it at the moment, the technology available is passive treatment systems, so that the water flows through a system and it's lime and it's oxidation natural systems. So that's the only addition I would like to make. Then in terms of Honourable Nguni's question on the short term and long term, I think it was necessary for the short term that we had to start immediately with the action, and that's why it was called emergency. But then before we could implement the long term implementation, we had to do a feasibility study. And that's exactly what the department has done. We had to do a feasibility study to ensure that we use the best method and we use, for instance, the right shaft, where to pump from. It's easy to jump in and build pumping stations and treatment plants, but you must know exactly where to do it and to get solutions on that. In terms of the monitoring, it's important also to note that there is a monitoring committee currently being chaired by the Department of Water and Sanitation, and that monitoring committee consists of most of the other departments, relevant departments, and it's also consisting of CSIR and the Water Research Commission. Just a question from Honourable Balinkula, I think, a question in terms of the different spheres of government. All the different spheres of government have been contacted, and we have committees. When we started with the environmental impact assessment with the short-term solution, we have committees in the Western, Central, and the Eastern Basin. So those committees probably don't exist anymore, but before we start implementing the long-term solution, we will have to revise those committees. So and that is in dealing with committees like, you know, also COCA and SALGA and all other local governments. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, members, if I could just add one point, and it was it's a reference to the collective approach to dealing with mine water management, and it was referenced in the Chamber of Mines comment as well in terms of not managing mines individually but working a collective base. And I would just refer, Honourable Chair, to the work that is being done through the Strategic Water Partners Network, which is a partnership which governments and the Department of Water and Sanitation has with the private sector groupings, where we are conducting a study into the using the Witbank coal fields as the base area to look at how we deal with mine water management on a collective basis. The Chamber of Mines made reference to Emalahleni in particular, where the mines there, I won't mention the mine's name in particular, but where they have put in a system and currently are also driving water through purifying AMD for their own purposes and also to the Emalahleni municipality. And there are other examples which can also be quoted in the Witbank coalfields area as well. But that's ongoing work which is being undertaken jointly between ourselves and the private sector. We've got quite a few of the mining houses which operate in the Witbank coalfields who are working with us on those solutions. So thanks, Madam Chair, and DG, I suggest that Neil handles the licensing things.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, DG. I think DG has given a high-level synopsis of the answers of some of the responses. I'm going to reiterate what I said earlier on, that this the department has got the actual figures of the mines operating, etc., and we will come back to do a separate presentation on that, also to say what our new approach is and our new business process with enhanced timeline. The question regarding the fragmentation of legislation. Now, the different departments have got different mandates. That's not necessarily to say that the departments can't work together. We have different mandates, we have different legislations, but we also have the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act, which talks about cooperative governance and actually gives effect to the principles of cooperative governance where the different departments must work together. So on the AMD, there has been a joint approach, a collective approach to the interministerial task team. What we've done with regard to speed up the authorizations process is the alignment of the time frame. So the three departments, the DMR, the DM, and Water, had an agreement that basically said we would do the license authorizations or licenses process over a quicker timeline. Then subsequently, before, in the previous parliament, we gave effect to that agreement through legislation. So we have all three departments have amended their legislation to give effect to a quicker, easier process for the authorization, and we are now applying that legislation together with the regulations that we have to implement. We will come in that presentation to talk about how we're doing that. The concern certainly is that when the government departments don't talk to each other, or it's not necessarily that we could say that we could always blame the legislation or the lack of alignment in the legislation. Nothing precludes us from departments from talking to each other, and the DGS clearly articulated that she can convene a meeting with her counterpart DGs. We can also give effect to an agreement, like when we did the agreement on the alignment of the time frame. But certainly, there is a collaborative approach. So on the pollution aspects, we do joint operations. Our own department has what is known as the Blue Scorpions. I'm not sure what is the Scorpion's name. It's actually a very good name to continue, but the Environment Department has the Green Scorpions, and then the Mineral Resources Department has the Brown Scorpions. So there are these kind of joint operations or collective approach towards pollution control, and we take that quite seriously. In fact, the month of November is our enforcement month when we target illegal water use, and we'll be launching that next week. But I think that the collective approach is certainly what we are going to be coming back to actually be rolling out, and we'll give you a clear-cut presentation on how we are changing the bringing up of the game changes for the licensing and authorization regime. And the figures and the steps and the information, we will certainly provide that to the committee. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, DG.
Member of mine.
Madam Chair, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen. I think I'm going to attempt to respond to the questions sequentially as they are asked. The first one relates to, maybe not in the first one, I think maybe the first part that I really want to respond to is the approach that the slides were, some of the slides were blackmailing the committee. And I think that I want to categorically say that there was never the intention to blackmail or even to intimidate the committee, even if I had the power to do so. But what I wanted to indicate at the beginning of that presentation, I said there are these negative legacies. And the title of the presentation that people have in their hands essentially says the challenges of sustainable development, where I wanted to highlight the fact that we do need the product of money. On the other hand, we do have a responsibility to ensure that mining takes place in a responsible manner. And the fact that mining is for an opportunity to present itself as a platform for further economic development of the country. It was simply meant to indicate the faith that the chamber has in the mining industry, that we still have what is timber. The past we inherit, the future we create, and we do have the opportunity to participate positively to create a better South Africa. And that was the purpose of the slide, simply saying that we do have an opportunity to modernize. So I apologize if it came across as saying that when I put those potential aspects in mind, while we wanted to ignore the past, was never the intention. Secondly, the issue about the responsibility, I also try to outline the fact that here, there are three areas here. There are those authorized mining companies. Those mining companies have got the sole responsibility to act in a responsible manner. And all the discussions about the capacity of the state is simply to hold those mining companies accountable for activity. So they ensure that they've got good neighbors, they are responsible citizens, they don't interfere on the environment, they don't interfere on communities. The area where was the purpose of the discussion here, but in those areas where there is no one to hold accountable, either because we can't find them or they're hiding somewhere, where we can't locate them, where I'm offering, where I said, we are offering the chamber as a collective entity that we can maybe partner with in terms of dealing with those legacies. But that does not mean that the chamber wants to abrogate the state responsibility for the responsibility of individual mining companies. The individual mining companies have got authorization, they've made obligations, they must be made if they are not performing according to those obligations. The space that I've created for the chamber is those areas where there's no partner for government engagement, and that we are there on behalf of the industry to deal with those challenges. Now, in terms of the environmental aid, we have not seen the proposal, so I'm not really going to be able to say anything about it, rather than from a principled position. But an environmental levy, if it only focuses on mining companies, it needs further motivation. For simple reason. But if there's efficient drainage problem in the weak water trend, and I'm mining in Khartoum, the Northern Cape, where there's been no water, why should I be held liable for activities that are taking place in the weak water trend while I'm mining in Khartoum, the Northern Cape? So we have not yet engaged the department on this matter, but I think it's a policy proposal, so they will finalize and fine-tune it, and when it goes into the public domain, we'll engage accordingly. The issue about no concrete proposal having him being presented here, I think what I tried to indicate in my presentation was that we had engagement with the department, we had a proposal on the table, and that proposal was not accepted, and we've accepted that proposal has not been accepted, but we are now part and parcel of the new proposal that the department has put on the table. It's a question of iterative processes, where are the new developments in this process, which requires our direct engagement, which said we are ready to cooperate. So it's not a question of we have thrown our hands and we've walked out. We said we're still partners. Well, with our attention, we'll be able to play our part as required. And I think, maybe I've answered it about Mr. Mkonde, about the relevance or non-relevance of the historical role of mining. But it was simply just to put the context right, that mining has performed less in the past, that's why we are here, talking about the mine drainage, but still again, that the mind for the future, that we need to make sure that we do not compromise that future in terms of not doing the same mistake that we did in the past. I think Honorable Sherembe, if I got the name right, also asked what was the importance of labor relations in my slide. And again, the issue of labor relations came from explaining that mining in the past had negative legacies, and those legacies in the form of labor relations are simply referring to the practices of the time where certain people were allowed to reach certain levels, others were not allowed to reach certain levels, so the issue of slave wage, etc., etc. And we have passed that one. We have agreed that workers will be compensated according to their to their ability. So it's no longer an issue. I'm simply referring to it as the historical part of what happened in the past. And I think it relates even to the issue about the ex-mine workers that Honorable Badindela raised about how come the workers are not in place. It's part of the legacy issue. And I can explain that the chamber has taken a view that if there are legacies
where we have an ability to make a difference, we will do so. In the case of X-Mind Weather, we have, maybe to explain the context so that all our members understand. If a worker is either discharged on the ground of medical incapacity because he has been exposed to occupational diseases, he or she is supposed to claim to the compensation commissioner. But the problem is that the compensation commissioner's office have not been able to pay out those things as fast as possible. So the chamber has put in resources to put up one medical center around the country. We have started in Tasha, we're going to Carlton Village, we'll be partnering the Department of Health and Department of Health in Guruman and in Vegas Point. And the whole idea is for us to capacitate the Department of Health to be able to deal with the backlogs. We've improved the IT system. We have employed Gemma to look at the files so that we can prioritize groups that can be paid immediately. So we are doing something in that space. It may not be fast, but we are doing something. All the details can be provided to request, Madam Chair. Now, in terms of legislation, I think I really need to acknowledge the view of the department that they acknowledge the fact that the collective approach to the different circumstances is appropriate, and we look forward to the department, you know, in some way regularize that process, because it's really difficult. The human attempted to do this regional approach. But the fact of the matter, the company manage their operations according to the license that they have. Anything that falls outside of that license, they are not very willing to engage on. So it's better if that regional approach and the cooperation that is required is then legislated so that, you know, we can play our role in terms of bringing the company together to deal with a particular context. And I think Mr. Mukondo asked us about this regional approach. I think what do we really mean? What we mean is that there's a mine here, there's a mine here, there's a mine here in one area. We have now come to realize that none of those mines is that interconnected either by water or by some other environmental affiliated impact will be able to close independent of it. It cannot by itself decide to go. If it goes, it's essentially running away because it's leaving the responsibility with the remaining party. And we say we want a protective approach where each closure is properly planned. Responsibility are apportioned so that every individual mining company, when it's supposed to exit, it knows exactly what to do and what impact is leaving behind and how we're going to account for those. Thank you very much.
Thank you, members. Are there any follow-ups? Honorable Nguni, Honorable Kaula, and Honorable Balinga.
Thank you, Chairperson. There's only one question that I wanted to ask from the department, which is about the potential and future impact of this asset management drainage on the land use. Meaning in areas being treated for future development. I want to put clarity on that thing. And my understanding of this asset water is poison. If you drain it, you die. That's what my understanding. Then this issue of desalination, after it has been a flow, the last part, the last stage, and the water gets into the river. Hey, what impact does it do to the ecosystem, to the animal, to the human? Are we not going to die in the near future? What are you going to think about the health hazard in the near future? In the near future, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the responses that we have been given, and I would like to thank the TG for the responses too. Chamber of Mines, thank you for letting us know that we can get more information on the ex-mine workers. I really, through the chair, will hope that the information will be given because this is a matter that is worrying us a lot. On the SHEC case in Desert, I really need to be assured that there is no time that we have found ourselves in a desert. Thank you.
Sibonga Chair. Khona impela iqiniso sokuthi uyasebenza kakulaka. Ngiqondela nani sezokuklinwa kwakuyo nokhuzana. Angikezi ukuthi lana ngizasabaliza yini zodwa. Ningixelele uma ngiphuma eceleni kodwa ngoba ngisathi ngiza lakho konke. Lana khona into emnandi nalisithembise ngala yokuthi kuzoba khona labantu abazokwazi bagade imifula njengoba sikhala ngokuthi abantu laba be-environment azibakhona la abantu ukuchitha kwenze efaka amapayipini nabona abantu abafake emjondolo bafake amapayipini aphumele emfuleni ngoba konke lokho kuyinkinga kubangela izifo nokuchitha kwezinja emfuleni konke lokho besitholeniyenibhekelela kese sisakhuluma nje ngey'malini landa imfuleni impela emakhaya kebe khona ngempela likwenza ukuthi kuyaqiniswa siyagcina ngokuxoxa nangoba ikhona le nto yemfula abantu baphosa odoti khona nodoti bakudamba noma ikuphi izinto ezile nendle nezinkindle indle ngokuchazela ngelinga ngamshoni niyayazi zinihle abayithatha bayifake enye into besengizoyicela lana kumina badakwethu. Mina bengiyojabula ukuthi izinto esixoxa ngazo sithole la ukuthi hhayi lokho esafunde ngakho u-1 no-2 no-3 wakho sesikwenzile ukuze singalo njalo saqala indimenta siyalima indimenta siyalima kodwa uthi sikhonze leso sikhale ngakho eqaleni akhona umoto esikutholayo ukuthi kukhona ayakuiva kaze kayitholi impendulo ngalabanze bevuma eGiyane uminista lowangameli wathi waphuza uminista kuthi ekugcineni abantu basebehambe indawo ekuvoba ngiyayibuza ukuthi namanzi ayiqhamukaphi ngicela nje lingacishelangile kodwa ndalipushwa abantu njengoba simele abantu bangiyabonga.
Ya Shepherdson, let me also start by apologizing for coming late. We attended the meeting, but I hope my our apology has been forwarded. Mine is on the issue of the river. I'm requesting for an explanation in terms of the issue of dumping of dead animals in the river, polluting the river with sanitation, you know, dumping of all the unwanted stuff in the river. I just want an explanation, although this is not directly related to what we are discussing about. But my other question also relates to the issue of the water in Kiani. Where I saw the minister drinking water there, I asked myself as to where does that water come from, because all along people were without water, but to my surprise I saw the minister drinking water there. Subsequent to that, the water is no more available. So please assist me in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you. In advising Honorable Kaula, when he started to request that we go direct to the presentation, but in advising, members are allowed to make a routine question to ministers and oral questions. So I advise Honorable Kaula to make a routine reply question to the minister asking the same question, and then she will respond to the question. I don't think for now we'll have the question, the answer to Honorable Kaula. That is the advice that I'm giving to a member. It is an important question that all of us will want to know about, but our processes and we have rules on how are we dealing with issues in Parliament. So that is the advice that I'm giving. The question will be packed and will go direct to the minister with a written or oral reply to the member. I think we'll go direct to other questions.
Thank you, Chair. With regards to the question that was asked by Lengwe Mguni around immediately what is the impact, that was why we instituted the emergency processes. What that entails is a purification and a neutralization. With the purification, we're removing heavy metals, and that was what Mari showed us pictures of, in particular iron as one of them, but there are other contaminants of minerals as well. And then there is the thought around devaluation that is not optimal. What we are doing is, because of the large quantities of water in the Vaal River system, it is able to neutralize the salt level. Now, it is not a long-term solution because you are going to pump more of this salinated water into the Vaal River. So you must have an additional process to desalinate it. At the moment, it's an acceptable level. And we do take samples of that together with the Department of Environment to ensure that it is at acceptable level, together with Land Water Board, to ensure that that is what we are able to do. The reason for us moving into the next phase is to deal exactly with the issue, Chair, that Member Nguni raises, about the long-term effects of water with high salt levels in the environment. Now, that is the part that we want to deal with now. And as I indicated, the decision around that next phase, those next phases, is imminent. With the minister will take those decisions very soon. As a matter of fact, it anticipated in this month, the decision will be taken in terms of the next phase. If at a technical level, Shay Marius wants to add, then he's certainly welcome to do that. And then with regards to the Diani, I take your direction on it, Shay. Thank you.
Madam Chair, just in short, PG answered it, but in terms of the way we manage water resources in South Africa, all water resources, all river systems, it's got some sort of a resilience. So there is a tolerance in a river, so it can by itself treat its water, treat the AMD, but not raw AMD. So that's why, you know, your question was, if you drink AMD, you will die, of course. If it's not going to die you and make you dead, it's going to make you sick. But in terms of neutralized water, it's not guaranteed, but I will not always drink neutralized water, but that's not ideal. But the rivers have got some sort of a tolerance. So it can treat itself to a certain level, but that's what he said. It can take it up to a certain period of time. So for the next couple of years, that's fine because you can dilute it. But after that, you have to take out the salt.
Thank you, members and all presenters and all who attended the meeting today. We welcome the promise of working together by the department and the Chamber of Mines, just to get our objective of giving our communities clean water, which is in the Constitution of South Africa. We hope that the promise will give us the good result in addressing the issue of the sediment drainage. We welcome all the questions from members and the responses, and we will make the presentation on the status quo of mines operating without the Water Users Authority, which will be accompanied by the list of the mines that are not complying. We hope that DG will have also the feedback on how are you addressing those who are not complying, so that we get clarity on how are we doing. We are also going to have our oversight on the 27th of one of the mines to check the progress and get the gist of the matter. How are you addressing the issues? We know that some issues are expensive, but even also the life of our people are expensive. So we must make sure there's a motto now that we are saying that we must use the little that we have so to address our challenges. What we need to tell ourselves as members of parliament, officials and chamber of mines is that all of us are working to serve our people. I used to say when people are saying you look nice, it's because of you are saving those people. So when you have your jacket with a label, you must know that I'm going to work for those people. So you support them, they support you to get a nice jacket, a nice dress. It's a circle. So we must, when we must work knowing that we are working for our people and they are giving us results so that others may see us succeeding in our lives.
which you are saying, DG, we thank you for being with us today and some other jobs. We are late in the meeting, but you make time for us to understand what is happening in the department and also in the mine. So we'll do our work as members of parliament overseeing the progress. Next time when we call you, maybe you'll give us the full report that you said, and we are going there. I think member Kaula has find the request that she must write the questions to the minister. She has lots of questions that were not related. The environment department is not here and she has questions. So she can also write to the minister of environment in other challenges that she raised so that she can get answers. Not member Kaula only, all members have the right to question each and every minister in the challenges that they have in the life of our people, because all of us, we are working to one objective. Members, we are having minutes in our packages, but you will look at and we'll next week, we'll deal with them next week. So it's just for members to go and get them. And we also have a public hearing, which will be on the 25th, it's 2 days. 25, 26, and the notice for submission of the submission for the closing date for submission for comments is on Friday, 21st November, for public hearing. So it is already out today. On Sunday, if you on newspaper, Sunday time on Sunday. So members, it is open for comments for the public hearing, which is for the vandalization. Vandalism and theft of water infrastructure in South Africa. So we will have public hearings. So members will tell their constituencies to comment on, submit on the matter. So we are having a meeting next week. We'll get information from the secretary as they do as usual. I think that. Do you have anything? That is the. We are now closing our meeting. Our meeting is adjourned for today. I think. Esta vez,